Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Over 10,000 rape kits in the city of Detroit have gone untested over the past 20 years, and an MSU researcher is working to find out why. Rebecca Campbell, a psychology professor at the university and a veteran sexual assault researcher, is heading a three-year project on the matter, and she joins me now. Welcome to the show, Dr. Campbell.
Thank you very much.
So we're talking about hundreds of rapes each year in Detroit that have not been investigated. Is that the implication of all these untested rape kits?
They have been investigated. It's just in varying degrees. And the rape kits themselves have not been tested by either the DPD lab when it was open, Detroit Police Department lab when it was open, or the Michigan State Police lab. The significance of not having the kit tested is that all of the available evidence for police and prosecutors just hasn't been brought to light.
How essential is a rape kit in pursuing a case? Can a case be successfully prosecuted without one?
Yes, it can. The utility of the kit probably depends on the nature of the assault itself. So, for example, in a stranger assault, when the assailant's identity is completely unknown, the kit can be incredibly helpful in either testing it and getting a CODIS hit in the FBI database to identify the assailant, or if police are able to identify the assailant through other means, they can ask for and get a subpoena for a sample to take the suspect's DNA and get a match, in which case it is incredibly helpful in solving the case. In the instance of a non-stranger assault, such as a date rape, a marital rape, or a rape between two people who know each other, the kit can also be helpful, but it doesn't have the same utility as it would in a stranger rape case.
When you look at this huge number of kits that have remained untested, is there an estimate of how many rapists have been able to evade justice?
We have some estimates from a statistical analysis that was done by a colleague of mine at Michigan State University, Dr. Stephen Pierce. They did a random sample of 400 kits, and from that they were able to get some estimates. But right now, those are just estimates.
Now, these kits were discovered in a storage facility in August of 2009. Was there an effort to hide them?
No, I don't think there's any evidence that there was any effort to hide them. I think the census is that DPD, Detroit Police Department, was completely overwhelmed about being able to process all of them, test all of them, investigate all of them. But I have not seen any evidence yet that there was an effort to conceal them.
How about the victims in these cases? What were they told about the cases, and how was the lack of action by authorities explained?
I don't think it was explained, and I think that's one of the things that's most troubling to everyone involved in this project. Right now in Michigan, there's no way for a victim to be able to track his or her kit to know what's happened to it. And to the best of my knowledge, there's no place in the country that has that type of legislation where a victim can log in, for example, and find out where his or her kit's in the process. To the best of our knowledge, most of these victims were not informed that their kits were never tested, nor were they given information about the status of their cases.
Now, you said that the Detroit police were essentially overwhelmed by just the number of these rape cases and kits. What's the typical timeline of processing a kit, and what is the cost involved?
The cost involved is variable because it depends whether the kit is being tested in-house, meaning by either the Michigan State Police Laboratory or the Detroit Police Department Laboratory when it was functional, or whether it is outsourced. There are a number of private laboratories that have sprung up for a whole host of reasons, one of which is to help process the backlog of untested kits that are happening all across the country. What's happening in Detroit is not at all typical, is not at all unique, excuse me, to Detroit at all. So the cost of the kits really varies. It can be, several hundred, it can be a couple thousand, it depends entirely.
I'm talking to Dr. Rebecca Campbell, a psychology professor at Michigan State University and a veteran sexual assault researcher. And we're talking about the over 10,000 rape kits in the city of Detroit that were discovered untested. They span about 20 years of time. Dr. Campbell, what will happen with these kits now? Can cases that are 10 or 15 years old still be prosecuted?
Some of them can. It depends on the statute of limitations, and the statute of limitations law vary a little bit depending upon the nature of the crime. I'm not a prosecutor, so I can't speak to that definitively. But I do know that the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office is very much involved in this project and is reviewing all of the cases with an eye towards statute of limitations to make sure that they can move very quickly on all cases that are still legally viable.
Now, you said that there's not a sense that these were hidden away. So, in a sense, the process itself was set up in a way that the authorities became unaware that the kits were there. How do we know that's not currently happening?
The way we know it's not currently happening is once this issue came to light and once everyone started to understand the magnitude of the problem, the Detroit Police Department and the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office have already started taking steps to change the way that sexual assault cases are investigated in the city of Detroit. Currently, a Wayne County prosecutor is embedded in the Detroit Sex Crimes Unit, which means that police and prosecutors work together now to review all cases that are reported to the police and to review and screen each one so that cases aren't slipping through the cracks.
You know, you hear this number, 10,000 rape kits. How many, on average, how many rapes occur in Detroit and statewide a year?
That's a great question. The problem is we don't have a great answer for that. There are official police data sources like the Uniform Crime Reports, but that refers only to the cases that are reported to law enforcement. But there's a larger number of victims who never report to law enforcement, and there's still even other victims who might choose to have a medical exam but then decide not to have their kits released to law enforcement because they changed their mind. We do know that the crime rate in Detroit is comparable to other large urban cities.
And are you optimistic that that the process that's now in place is going to have a dramatic effect on the way rapes are prosecuted and the rates in which they're successful?
I think so. I think that what we have started right now is an excellent beginning, and that as this research project continues and as we find out more information about how this problem happened, why it happened, what went wrong, what broke down in the system, we feed that information back to our partners at Detroit Police Department, the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, victim advocacy organizations, so it's a continual loop of information. So that as we get information, we share information so they can act on the information to constantly be improving what's in place for new cases as they come in the door and to keep us on track as we try to work through the old cases that are in this very large pile.
And finally, in terms of the use of a rape kit, now that's something that needs to be used essentially within hours of a rape incident. Is that correct?
Usually within 72 hours. It's part of a broader process called the Rape Exam and Evidence Collection Kit. After an assault, it's a good idea for a victim to be seen by a medical professional to treat any injuries and to address any sexually transmitted infections that might have been contracted in the assault. So the victim's health and well-being is the number one concern, and we want to make sure that victims know, in spite of hearing stories like this, a rape exam still is a very good idea to protect their health and well-being. And then in addition to that, a victim has a choice of whether to have forensic evidence collection obtained or collected from their body. And that has to be done within 72 hours of the assault. And that's what goes into the kit that can then be tested for DNA analysis.
Dr. Rebecca Campbell, psychology professor at MSU and a veteran sexual assault researcher. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Campbell.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back with more of the Capital City Recap. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.